welcome to the November 13, 2018 Sussex County Council meeting. First thing, Mr. Lawson, the agenda approval.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I have one recommended amendment this morning under grant requests. We can strike grant number 3 request, Cape Vikings Pop Warner. And that is all, Mr. President.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Motion, Mr. Burton, second. Mr. Wilson, any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of October 30th. Any questions, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters thanking the County Council. The first one is from Cape and Loop and Senior Center, and all of these are thanking Council for their human services grants. Also, Kent Sussex Industries, Inc., Easter Seals, Delaware and Maryland's Eastern Shore. A couple of them sticking together here, excuse me. Lewis Senior Activity Center, Sussex County Habitat for Humanity. Delaware Foundation Reaching Citizens with Intellectual Disabilities. The Milford Housing Development Corporation. And Sussex County, Sussex Community Crisis Housing Service, Inc. That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Okay. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I think what I'm going to ask should be fairly easy to be answered. A motion for rehearing for the Board of Adjustment. When does that time start? Does it start when they vote on the issue, or does it vote start when you when they approve the finding of facts? That's the question.
Yes, typically, and I would check with Mr. Sharp, but typically all actions take place after the findings are approved. Okay. Because that's when the vote takes place at that point.
Okay. Second question. Why was the packet not put up till this morning for us guys? Was there any excuse why it couldn't have been done Friday? You done everything else correctly. Last Monday you posted for this week. I don't think you had an excuse, because I still haven't seen the packet.
Packet was up this morning, I believe.
It was, yeah. But it didn't help me none.
Rich Barrasso.
Good morning, Mr. President, Council, County staff. My name is Rich Barrasso. I'm with the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth. If I've signed on yours, Mr. President, do I need to sign here as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. While I'm doing that.
I know you haven't got to. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not there. Okay. That's
never mind. Never mind.
Right. Yeah. I have a handout that I'm passing out. I also have a real quick presentation for the benefit of you.
3 minutes.
I got it. So the topic that I'm speaking on is wetlands, and I think it's important for the public to become more knowledgeable in terms of what's actually entailed. So what I've done is I've taken a look at answering the question, how much land and acreage are we talking about in terms of the proposed ordinance?
Mr. President, if this is concerning a proposed ordinance, we've already had a public hearing on the proposed ordinance, and at that point, and I believe the record was closed at that point.
Okay, well, we can't.
Yes, so you would have, he did mention it was in reference to proposed ordinance, so that's my concern.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is, I know that there's another ordinance in the works. It has not been presented yet, and that is as relates to wetland ordinance, and if I can speak on that. This is just an attempt to identify what are we talking about here in terms of the amount of land that comes into play. I'm not going to read you the definition, but if we go simply by what is designated as state wetlands, if you look on the map on the right-hand side, that is the state of Delaware. That area marked in green, and it's a little bit confusing because these are actually map polygons or areas. It's not total wetland. More specifically, if you look at Sussex County, that is the areas that are designated as state wetlands in Sussex County. Vast majority of the state wetlands are east of Route 113. There is little or no state wetlands that are located between Route 13 and Route 113. So essentially, there's probably just three districts that are impacted by this. Districts 4, District 3, and a very small portion of District 5. For the most part, there are no designated Delaware state wetlands in the other districts. I won't go into detail in terms of what each of these map grids might look like. This is just an area where one of those polygons has wetland, and it's designated in terms of exactly where it is and what it is. But most importantly, how much land and acreage are we talking about? Sussex County acreage is approximately 768,000 acres. Total acreage in Sussex County. DENREC estimates that approximately 27,000 acres of land are designated state wetland, or less than 3% of Sussex County. Less than 3%. And it's primarily in the coastal area. There are a number of districts where there is no or very little state wetland designated. It's important that we maintain wetland functions. This is off the DENREC website. It's essential for protecting the public. Wetlands store and control floodwaters. They control erosion. They protect water quality, and they provide habitat for fish, wildlife, and plant species. Wetlands are important for education and recreation, and they supply us with open spaces to enjoy. Council needs to consider and balance the huge public outcry to protect public health and our natural resources with the few who desire and benefit from runaway development. Thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Sue Claire Harper.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I
am Sue Claire Harper, and I live at 3 Suffolk Road in Rehoboth Beach. First, I want to compliment the Planning and Zoning Commission, the County Council, and the incredible amount of work accomplished under the direction of Planning and Zoning Director Janelle Cornwell in bringing the draft of the 2018 comp plan into being. The ongoing efforts to welcome and record public participation in this process has been remarkable. However, today I want to focus on the significant challenges facing the county to implement effective measures to address low to moderate income housing needs, also known as workforce housing. Measures that pay more than lip service to the following statements contained in the comp plan. I note on page 9, one reads, "The county is working hard to create more affordable housing opportunities in Sussex." On page 10, one reads, "In cooperation with state, federal agencies, housing industry representatives, and nonprofit housing groups, Sussex County has been very active in trying to address low to moderate income housing needs." On page 21, the document further states, "Even more can be done to continue and expand these efforts." I heartily agree. It is especially important to note the following statement on page 13, as it is crucial to understanding why so little development has been accomplished to date to address the low to moderate income housing needs, workforce housing needs, the county purports to support. One reads, "The county has two voluntary The county has two voluntary measures inclusionary zoning programs, pardon me, that it uses to further promote more affordable housing and promote a wider range of housing options. In planning for the future, the concept of voluntary measures must be abandoned. Experience has proven voluntary measures are synonymous with failure. Fortunately, far more productive measures have been proposed as part of the state's preliminary land use service, the PLUS review on the issue of affordable housing. The Delaware State Housing Authority reviewed Sussex's draft of the 2018 comp plan with the goal of determining whether Sussex incorporated the state's goals, policies, and strategies into the comp plan. After considered review, DSHA expressed the following concerns. In commenting on both the future land use and housing chapters, they cite the county's stated goal to expand affordable housing opportunities, particularly in areas near job centers, and DSHA defined areas of opportunity. As you know, areas of opportunity include town centers, developing areas, and coastal areas. These areas are strong, high-value markets with job centers offering economic opportunity, high-performing schools, and supportive infrastructure. All these factors are critical in paving the way for successful households, something we all desire. However, as the comp plan amply documents, these areas now contain little to no affordable housing. Rather surprisingly, despite the county's thorough documentation, and it was very impressive, DSHA points out that medium to high density residential development is still not included in the specified areas of opportunity. The crucial point is that the current land use map contained in Chapter 4 is overly restrictive in regard to multifamily residential development and the density needed to support these projects. Paraphrasing the state's review, affordable housing development is contingent on a land use framework where medium and high density is permitted by right, where ordinances legally ensure, where they mandate that affordable housing can be developed. Otherwise, as the Department of Housing notes, and that reports in local papers repeatedly confirm, considerable public opposition to new development, particularly multifamily, will stop affordable housing development from proceeding. Although the variety of strategies listed to increase housing options in Sussex is impressive, experience has proven the objective reality of the Department of Housing's review. Until Council modifies its future land use maps to reflect the recommendations of the Department of Housing and draft ordinances that require private developers with appropriate incentives to dedicate a percentage of their development to multifamily and affordable housing opportunities, this gap will only multiply and the quality of life for all Sussex residents will suffer. And I thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob Morgan.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. Many of us, I'm Rob Morgan, many of us in and around Lewis are following closely what the Council determines, and we're looking to you for leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Cardi.
Patty Grimes. Patty Grimes, so Patty over there somewhere, you go. Please come on down.
Come on down.
Good morning.
Good morning to the council. I want to thank you for having me this morning, and I know you have a full agenda, so I'm going to be as brief as possible and get this show on the road. So I want to give you an update of the Joshua M. Freeman Foundation and its program, The Freeman Stage. So we were founded in 2007, and our mission remains the heart of our programming. Our mission is partnering to present memorable performances and inspired arts education for all. Those last two words, for all, means that everyone in Sussex County, whether they're a resident or whether they're a guest, is welcome at the Freeman Stage. Our results have been nothing more than phenomenal. In 11 years, we have served over 500,000 people in this county, 406,000 at the Freeman Stage, and 101,000 children in Sussex County schools. We are continuing to commit to the diversity of genres so that everyone has the opportunity to enjoy musical theater, dance, opera, rock and roll, country. All genres are available at the Freeman Stage. And so this slide is really representative of our growth. From 2008, you know, Sussex County was an arts desert. There was no availability of arts for residents. And in 2018, you can see, you know, we have a mobile stage now. We are busting at the seams, and we have put Sussex County on the maps with a place that everyone can come and enjoy the arts. We are now the third largest arts organization in the state of Delaware in just 11 years. And so a snapshot of, I talked about the 500,000 people, but just to see the growth, in 2008, we had 13,500 people come to the stage. This year at the stage, we had 58,000 people come to enjoy the arts, and 1,100 of those guests were disadvantaged family and children who may not otherwise been able to enjoy the arts. So residents in Sussex County were able to come at our as our guest. 40% of our programming at the stage is free. So it's accessible for everyone. 36 out of 50 states were represented this season at the stage. And we employ 13 full-time folks, and we have a seasonal staff of 32 folks. What does that mean? Just in raw numbers, back of the envelope, between our arts statistics and Delaware tourism, $3 million came back into Sussex County this year. And I believe the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan talks about really trying to focus on tourism and the economic advantages. And I can assure you that your investment in the Freeman Stage is doing just that. In fact, over the last 11 years, on a very conservative measure, over $30 million has come into this economy as a result of the Freeman Stage and its arts performances. Arts for All, that's our arts and education program. Every year, we impact between 18,500 and 19,000 children right here in Sussex County at no cost to the schools. It's 100% sponsored by the Freeman Stage and the Joshua Freeman Foundation. And we have a strategy that children will enjoy four times during their academic career. An arts and education program that's live. And that starts in kindergarten through two with storytelling and music. And grades 3 through 5, it's musical theater, visual arts in the middle schools, and the language arts in the high schools. All of our programs are tied to the core curriculum and include study guides, and thankfully with the help from Sussex County transportation grants. What we are seeing as trends, you probably see this as well, the Department of Education tells us that poverty levels continue to rise, especially in the elementary schools here in this county in certain pockets, and English language learners continue to rise as well. So a lot of our programs are really guided towards those children. But many of you may or may not have come to the Freeman Stage, so I want to give you a short synopsis of what impact that we're bringing to the county.
The Freeman Stage is everyone's stage. I think that it's the community stage. Community isn't just about, you know, people. It's about having communal places to come and have mutual experiences together. Everyone should have the opportunity to hear a symphony. Everyone should be able to sit in the audience and listen to beautiful music or be exposed to a play for the first time or a performer that, you know, changes their perspective. the ideal really needed to be about bringing the arts to everyone. We became quickly committed to always maintaining a certain amount of performances that were free and open to the public. So that no matter what you had in life, whether you had a lot or you had nothing at all, you had access. So this has really been a grassroots movement that started with however many at the first season, 15,000 people or 10,000 people, whatever it was, has grown to 45 or 50,000 people this year will attend a show. And every single one of those patrons is important. We wouldn't do it if not for them. This was an arts desert. And I think people have felt like, oh my gosh, we have a place to call our own. And we have a place where we can come and see Shakespeare to Oliver. And it's a happy place. It's everyone's place.
So that gives you a glimpse of the impact that this county has received from bringing the arts. And one of the things from the economic value, what we do know is that when businesses, and I think Mr. Poff might be in the house today, that businesses, when they're trying to bring business here, they're looking for great health care, they're looking for great education, and they're looking for arts and culture. And, the council, I wanted you to know that we're delivering on that promise to make Sussex County a better place. And we've talked about these statistics. I'm not going to bore you with that. But one thing I wanted to point out is that not only are we having people come to the stage, but we have people who are believe in our mission and are serving us, not only through sponsorship, but 62,400 volunteer hours. We have a volunteer base of 300 people who help us every year. And that is equated into almost $1.5 million in savings to that. So the community is really behind that. We've also received the Governor's Award as the best arts venue and also for volunteerism. We collaborate with so many folks in Sussex County. We know we can't do this by ourselves. So Clear Space Theater, a lot of nonprofit organizations who help us with those community access guests, whether it's Big Brothers and Big Sisters to Emmanuel Shelter and People's Place, are part of folks who come to the stage and bring their constituents. We have a robust vendor partnership where whether it's Mid-South Audio, who's located right here in Georgetown, to Sposato Landscaping. They're great partners, and again, that money goes right back into the economy and jobs in Sussex County. And then we have great tourism partners with Dogfish Head, Jolly Trolley, and Sodell Concepts. Again, we're recycling and bringing dollars into jobs and into this county. But with great growth means progress needs to continue. So I wanted to give a glimpse into our future with the Freeman Arts Pavilion. As you may have seen in those that video, is we have run out of space. And so our plans continue to create an adjacent venue of 4,000 seats. 850 will be covered seats, so when we have rainy days like today, the show can go on. And we believe that we'll be able to increase our capacity from about 58,000 people to 70,000 people a year. And all of that will bring more economic value into the community, as well as bringing a higher quality of life for people who live and visit here. We will also be able to have a larger stage, which will accommodate larger acts and be able to bring quality arts here to Sussex County. And I'm going to leave you with why this county should continue to invest in the arts. and the Freeman Arts Pavilion as we continue to grow. This organization, I'm proud to say, we have a proven track record and a proven investment in this county. Think about what you've seen and how we've been able to deliver in 11 years and coming out of just a grass to be able to serve 500,000 people and be the third largest arts organization in the state. We provide accessibility and affordability. Again, this is a place for all Sussex Countyans and for all people who visit. Our ticket pricing is affordable. 40% of our programs are free. And we have a strong community access and arts and education program, which focuses on children. I showed you about our regional arts collaboration and partnerships. Our economic impact continues to grow in the county, and currently we have engaged the University of Delaware to have a comprehensive economic impact study, and that'll be complete in the spring of 2019, and we look forward to sharing that information with you. But most important is that the arts break down the barriers and they help build communities. And that's what we're most proud of, what we've been able to deliver and will continue to deliver and strive for in Sussex County to have the best quality of life. We thank you for supporting the arts. Thank you for your time. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions, Council?
Yeah. How much money did you take in 1 year, this past year? How much money did you take in?
We are going to break even in our budget. So, so most arts organizations don't break even. That's a great point that you brought up, Council Wilson. Our budget is going to be about $5 million in 2019. In 2018, it was about 4.7. And for 3 years, we've been able to break even.
So when you get up to 70,000 people, you're going to be able to go on your own, right?
We're going to be on our own.
You will be on your own when you get up to 70,000.
Well, as long as the community will continue to support us, sir. So about 65% of our income is earned revenue with ticket pricing. About 35% is donated.
That's what Punkin' Chunk used to say to us, all the money's bringing in to the county.
Pardon me?
The Punkin' Chunk used to tell us that's all the money they're taking in, all this money, and they said, and getting away. And they said,
Hey, get in here, Mike.
I got fixed myself up so Dan can hear me.
Okay.
I said about Punkin' Chunk, you say the same thing to us, that they all the money that's bringing to our county, all the work that's getting the people, how many people that had worked that day.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sort of thinking back in mind, if taxpayers paying this bill, if you're charging at $70 or better, let people get in, right?
It depends on the show. 40% of our shows are free.
Well, I had a friend.
But we do have shows that it absolutely $70.
I know I had my daughter went down, and she said she had to pay $70 to still stand up.
That depends on the show. And okay. We have anything from zero to actually $125. But what I will say is the economic impact that we bring is different than, you know, I would say that we're a great investment if we can have a $4 million budget and bring $3 million back into the county.
How do you gauge who you're going to charge?
It depends on the actual artist that comes.
In other words, they just come there for free, don't charge nothing, right?
It depends. Actually, we have free shows and we have paid shows. So if it's a paid show, everyone comes unless they are part of our community access program, which we collaborate with other nonprofit organizations in the county. So it's not, we don't make that decision on an individual basis. We make it on a collaborative partnership basis.
Well, you're trying to get on my head.
Not intended, sir.
Any more questions, Council? Mr. Burton.
I'm excited about the UD study with the economic development. Tell me a little more about that.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, we have been calculating our economic development both on what the National Endowment for the Arts says an arts patron spends, and we know what Sussex County tourism gives us as a factor of someone coming in. We had the opportunity to present to a grant panel in Northern Delaware, and we were told that $30 million is woefully low for what we're actually bringing in. So we are investing in an economic impact study that a University of Delaware can help us with. And it's also going to show over the last 11 years what we've actually contributed. And it's going to end with a model that we can input every single year to be a calculator. It's also going to show the impact from quality of life and where, how we've been able to grow the arts in this county as a factor of us coming into to this county and starting the arts. So we're really excited about it. I'd like to have it done sooner and later than later, but getting that data together and analyzing takes about 6 months.
Are they beginning in January?
They'll be ending the, it'll be about May.
But they still,
ending in May of 2019, we engaged them in October of 2018.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Good deal. Thank you.
More questions, Councilor?
A question and a comment, Mr. President. I appreciate that. First and foremost, Patty, thank you. I will tell you, this is not one of, I would say this is perhaps the very best, I think, organizations in this entire county. What you do for this community is, I've been saying it for 4 years, and this is the final time I'm going to say it, because as I'm coming off the council, but I think that you are truly an inspiration, and all should be admirable to you in the organization for what you guys do. And what do we spend on an annual basis to this organization, if I may ask?
$10,000.
$10,000 out of what was the budget?
$4.7 million this year.
I'll say I'm embarrassed for that little amount.
Yeah.
Truth be told, for the amount of kids and the amount of impact. So my point is, it is the best investment that this council does out of its 140-some-odd million-dollar budget, annual budget. So thank you for the impact that you do for this community, because you are a blessing.
Thank you.
Any else from council? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on the agenda to our scheduled 10:30 public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on the proposed Diamond Acre Street Lighting District Extension A. Mr. Medlars, our county engineer, will give a brief presentation to the county council concerning this. After that, council will have an opportunity to question Mr. Medlars, and then subsequent to that, any member of the public that would like to come forward and discuss it may do so. Mr. Medlars?
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members. Earlier this year, you created the Diamond Acre Streetlight District. This is what you see, the interior piece outlined in the dashed line. This was the original district. And the original district is now lit, and we have established a rate. Earlier on this fall, we have presented to you the fact that we received a number of petitions from outside the area. We developed a potential rate, and we gave you an outline for the outside. You see outline on the outside, which you authorized in October 9th for posting. We posted the property and also mailed out invitations to the public hearing to all affected parcels. Prior to that, we had mailed out ballots, and no, ballots wrong, or polling letters to all the parcels to indicate support or non-support. We are pleased to say that 69% of the area responded. That's very high. We normally don't see anything near that high. 51% responded yes. That's 51% of all parcels are in the affirmative. 18% are in the negative, and that's of all parcels. But again, as you can see outlined here, it is a vast majority of the parcels support the expansion of the district. Now, sometimes it comes to our attention, I've had a number of conversations with some of the people who are not in favor of it regarding the lighting of a street. And I always respond, if you light a street, you light the center of the street, you light both sides of the street. So you can't just take people out on one side or another, because you're providing that service. And the way the code reads is, you're providing the service in order to increase the safety for the traveling public as well as the residents. So you can't just say, because you don't want it on one side, you still get the benefit from it. to have a better lit street system. Some people have already existing yard street lights. That's for their own personal yards. So they have the opportunity to say, once the street lights are up, do I still need a yard light or not? So that decision is made on a personal level. If they do decide not to, then they can remove that from their electric bill. If they decide it still is needed, then it would stay on in addition to the right-of-way lighting. So having said that, there should be a number of people here who would like to appreciate their or express their appreciation for the hearing, and some people probably like to say that they don't agree with it. So having said this, we're ready for the hearing if you are.
Any questions from anyone in council first? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to speak on this issue? Is there anyone? Yes, back here, if you want to come forward. If you come to the speaker stand, give us your name and address, please, and there's a sheet there if you will sign up.
Good morning. I'm Vicki Baker. I live on 30555 Iron Branch Road in Axburg, Delaware. I lived in this community for 46 years. Like any other community, we're growing. Our population is getting older, and our older citizens are really looking forward to this light for safety. I have ladies here. The ladies that are here are the ones that could come out because of our age. And we have a representative from Iron Branch. We have a representative from Bunning Road. We have a representative from Flower Plant Road. We would like these lights to light up our neighborhood because we are a small community and we have some activities that we hope the lights will help deceased or
discourage them.
There you go. So I'd like to take this time to thank Hans and Michelle Johnson for First Community Action. But we really would like your support on these lights. We have our first section done, which is East and West Diamond Street. There's 22 houses in that part of our neighborhood. And we have eight lights put in. The rest of the neighborhood, I think there's 59 houses that we're hoping these lights will help illuminate. Part of them are rentals, but the biggest majority are homes like mine that's been there since the inset of this development. So we're asking for your support for these lights, for our safety of our children and our senior citizens. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? I see a hand go up back there.
Hi, I'm Beverly Mitchell. And I reside at 30718 Fire Tower Road in Dagsburg, Delaware. Based on the public notice I received, my property is not included in this assessment. There would be no benefit to my property if I were included. I am opposed to the Diamond Acre Street Lighting District extension for the following reasons. My property butts up on Iron Branch Road, but that is my side yard. There are 51 properties that this will affect, and the letter clearly states properties on Iron Branch Road, Bunning Road, and Power Plant Road. It does not state anything about Fire Tower Road. I am the only one of 51 properties that does not have an Iron Branch, Bunning Road, or Power Plant Road address. My address is Fire Tower Road, my property is facing Fire Tower Road, and that is my property's physical location. The street lights will not benefit my property at all. There is nothing there but trees and the backside of my garage. I have had a security light on my property for 12 years from Delaware Electric Co-op, where I have been paying a monthly fee. It lights up the front yard of my house and the front yard of my garage. My light benefits my property. I do not feel I am the property of Diamond Acres. And lastly, I do not want my tax bill to increase. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this matter? Is there anyone else that would like to speak? One more call. Anybody else like to speak on this matter? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if council desires to act on this.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Yes, we have a motion from somebody.
There was a resolution that was in the packet, a resolution extending the Diamond Acre Street tree lighting, street lighting district.
Can I ask you, huh, where was that lady's property on the map up there, please? I mean, I'm just, where is she? Right there, and so which is her property?
Should I move for adoption and then?
Yeah, we should do, yeah.
Okay. Let me move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, do we have a second?
Second,
Mr. Burton. Questions now, Mr. Cole.
And again, it's
parcel. Where was the house? Can you walk over there and show it to us so we just see what the.
This here is Fire Tower Road, and this is the parcel.
Okay. Was Fire Tower Road mentioned in the referendum?
No, it's as I said before, it has to do with lighting up the adjoining street, which is the corner. You know, it sort of makes sense to even have a light at that intersection, but we've discussed this, and I acknowledge she's the only address that she has a fire tower address, and it's her side yard, but it's still a public street, and she is a residential property abutting that public street.
Any more questions to council? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
I think based on the testimony, even though, of course, I won't disagree with the lady who stated it would not benefit her, but I think for the overall purpose and the overall safety of the community and the overall desire of the community, I will vote yes.
Mr. Burton.
I will vote in favor.
Mr. Wilson.
We had a referendum on this right?
We had a referendum, yeah.
Councilman Wilson, we had petitions.
Right.
We had petitions return polling letters, so this is not a referendum, it's a polling. We have the results you see, 69 responded, 51 overall responded in the affirmative. So if you want to call it a
61 out of 69 voted
51 of 69.
51% out of all properties responded in the affirmative.
Only 51% voted for it.
Yes.
Small percentage.
No, that's a big percentage.
It is not too good.
Given,
said 51, correct?
51, yes.
I think the confusion is it's 51 of all the properties. All of them did not respond.
But he said only 50. Well, they didn't all respond. So
that's correct.
So only 51% voted for it.
51 of the overall percentage of all homes. So more than half of all properties affected responded in the affirmative.
That did respond.
Yes.
So my vote is no.
No. 51 of all the total number of homes, not of those that responded.
He said those that responded.
No.
If he didn't.
That's why we're clarifying here.
Let's say if you had 100 properties, 51 properties responded in the affirmative.
Correct.
So it is of the overall number. That's why I want to make sure. Not just the people responding, the overall number.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Mr. Andrews, going back up to you on the fourth quarter employee recognition awards.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to take this time to recognize some of our employees for exceptional customer service. There were 22 employees who received the recognition. A committee of supervisor employees reviewed all the submittals and would like to highlight two employees, one honorable mention and one employee of the quarter award. The employee receiving the honorable mention award is Steve Bradley from the paramedic department. Steve changed his schedule around so that he could help cover a shift for another employee. Steve's coworker wanted to acknowledge that Steve is always there to help a fellow coworker. He exemplifies quality service and not only to his patients, but his coworkers. The employee receiving the fourth quarter award is Greg Bell of the paramedic department. Greg responded to a call where a gentleman had been taken to the hospital. The wife wanted to be with her husband, but was unable to drive to the hospital. She had no family in the area who could help her get there either. After Greg's shift, he returned to the woman's home and drove her to the hospital to be escorted to her husband's room. These actions certainly go above and beyond and exemplifies quality service. We want to thank these two employees and other employees who received recognition this quarter. Could the fourth quarter winner, Greg Bell, come up and get a picture with Mr. Vincent and Mr. Lawson, please?
What's that? Stand this same map that was presented. You're talking about the lit map.
Two different numbers here on the same page.
One is the state. It's whole state.
Well, they can't still have a different thing.
Because we're in charge of seasons.
Right.
93%.
That's congratulations. Great job. Negative.
President George Bush already had the end of the man's.
Mr. Lawson.
All right, thank you very much. First item of business under County Administrator is the recognition of retiree John Hall. Mr. Vincent, you're back up again. Anytime a county employee retires, we give them the option to come forward to county council and be recognized. Mr. Hall is here today. We would like to recognize him with a tribute from the Sussex County Council. I'll read the tribute and Mr. Vincent will present. Be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council commends John H. Hall for devotion, loyalty, and excellence in serving Sussex County from October 6, 2006 to October 31, 2018, 12 years. The Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Mr. John H. Hall with wishes of happiness and good health. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, Council President. Congratulations, Mr. Hall.
This is one employee we're going to really miss.
We can turn it off. So. Yeah. turn that 3 minute clock on.
George, you will not have to worry me no more when you're going to get ice cream late at night when I'm in the middle of the road.
It's right, folks. Every time I saw him, I tried to fire him.
He was going to have ice cream. I had the flagger turn into stone, so he couldn't go.
And he probably didn't bring you any.
No, he didn't.
He didn't recognize me. That was a bad part. He said, "Who are you?"
Yeah, right. It's been a joy working with the contractors. I think I was in this building maybe not even 2 months in 12 years. I was late. I left home and went to the field and then came back home. Very seldom I come to this building. I think that's the way they wanted it. But working with the contractors I did, it's been very good. And they helped me get started and we helped one another through this last project we had. It was real bad. But we got through it, and they're getting ready to do the next phase, get to the hospital on 17 for the people down that way. It's been a joy.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John, and best of luck in retirement. Next item is a 5 points working group report. I passed down a paper copy of the 5 points the working group's final report. Mr. President, we wrapped up the work on the 5 points group last month and thought it was appropriate for us to put this on the agenda to let the council know that this was concluded and also provide a copy of the final report. As you're aware, the Five Points group was made up of 19 people, elected officials, appointed officials, local business people, citizens, and interested stakeholders. The county was represented by Mr. Cole, Mr. Burton, myself, and Planning and Zoning Commissioner Mr. Keller Hopkins. The working group met 10 times throughout the last year, and the focus of the group was to look for transportation solutions focused on Five Points. But I will say that the area by which they expanded beyond Five Points included areas north and south all the way down to 24 and east and west, as far west as Minus Conaway and Sweetbriar Road. And over time and over a lot of input, there were recommendations that were voted on. These recommendations are listed here. They did narrow it down. They started with 78 recommendations that got narrowed down to 24 priority recommendations. And also, there are 7 recommendations that DelDOT has included in their current capital projects. You can see the list of recommendations here starting at page 5. The bolded recommendations in each one of these categories are the priority recommendations. I will pause there and see if Mr. Burton or Mr. Cole have anything to add to the report.
I'll start off there. This working group is really the future of how DelDOT is going to move projects along. So involvement in these type of working groups is really, it's really important. They don't want to go down a road without the public input, because traditionally when that has happened, you know, the plans blow up too far gone in their design criteria. So to get the early public feedback and public involvement is the direction that they're going to go, and I thought the group that they picked were very diverse. The interactions were open and honest, and I employ everybody to try and get involved, because there is public comment both before the meeting and after the meeting. And a majority of those comments were really the smarter of all the comments made. So please get involved and come out to the public hearings.
Mr. Cole, any comments, sir?
No, my only observation is it seemed like the scope of it got larger and larger in some things, and maybe it got too big, and the focus, I thought, maybe should have been more targeted to the Five Points intersection. And I don't like it when they use the word solutions, because I don't think we're going to see a solution. I think we'll see improvements, but not solutions. Gridlock is, I think, here to stay, and I kept saying that I'd like to see, when this study's done, is how fast can we keep that gridlock moving? You know, so you know, the faster we can move gridlock along, I think that'll be a sign of our success, because we're going to still have heavy traffic. It's going to bog down the whole coastal area on big weekends in the summertime and when the peak season's here. And there's not much I don't think we can do about it. And as you can see, the county's growing faster than they can build the road. So it's a real challenge. So I'm hoping that the results we get here will be improvements. And I think they will be, obviously. But anyway, that's basically my take on it.
Thank you.
There you go, Mr. Burton.
Thank you. This was phase one, which was the collection of ideas and then the recommendation and prioritization of those ideas. DelDOT does have the intent to continue this process through a phase two, which looks more along the lines of monitoring the ideas and the implementation thereof. Would come back to the county with updates to this council, as well as working with stakeholder groups. And they don't really know what that future stakeholder group looks like, but it would look like something that we've had in this first phase, where feedback and reporting back to the public would be part of that phase two. Really, that's part of the accountability. One of the things that we heard last loud and clear, is not to allow this report to just go on a shelf somewhere and not move forward. So stay tuned for phase two in the upcoming year.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is a presentation and consideration of the Sussex County Land Trust. We put this item on the agenda today.